Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Six-week abortion ban is officially in effect this morning. New restrictions sparked a scramble at clinics across the state and set off a race to overturn the law through a ballot measure this fall. NBC's Bree Jackson joins us live from D.C. with how it could reshape the presidential election. And Bree, passing the amendment will not be easy.
It won't. Good morning, Francis. So this will have to go beyond partisan politics. While some Democrats believe the ballot measure could put Florida in play for President Biden, it needs a 60% supermajority to pass, which means it will need significant support from Republicans and independents. The amendment would protect abortion rights until roughly 24 weeks. But either way, that vote does not happen until November, and this six-week ban is law until then.
Yeah, we're now basically very much in line with the rest of the Southeast. If you don't remember the history of this, why is it that Florida didn't have more restrictive laws in place? It's because we had extensive litigation over whether the Privacy Amendment put into the Constitution in the 80s did or did not protect abortion as something that could not be infringed upon by the government, or to what degree it could be infringed upon. And of course, the Supreme Court has ruled that it does not cover that. And therefore now had been in place the 15 and now the 6 week ban that puts us, like I said, in line with the sort of cultural sense of the Southeast, much more conservative than the rest of the country. Also in line with in terms of time, we're still relatively liberal in terms of, Florida, it's still available up to 6 weeks. North Carolina, it's available up to 12 weeks. There are exceptions. Okay, as you've been hearing, but the general rule is up to 6 weeks. If you look at around the Southeast, West Virginia, Kentucky, Tennessee, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, Arkansas, Missouri, Oklahoma, and Texas are all banned 100%. Like, there's no abortion allowed ever. Georgia and South Carolina, I can't remember whether they're at 6 weeks or whether they are in a ban status, but in any case, again, we are at 6 weeks as of this morning. Now, what's interesting is to listen to the verbiage that gets used. Always pay attention to the language that people use. And one of the words that you hear quite a bit is the concept of a right. We talked about this a little bit yesterday. And the reason people use rights language in America is because we're a nation founded on the concept of rights. Right, the right to liberty, the right to freedom of the press, the right to property, the right not to be subject to search and seizure without an appropriate warrant, right? The language of rights, life, liberty, and property, or life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, depending on whether you read the Constitution or the Declaration of Independence. The Declaration of Independence was meant to be more of a propaganda message, whereas the Constitution actually enshrined rights you can really protect. You can't really have there's no right to the pursuit of happiness is kind of a nebulous thing. The right to property is pretty specific. So if you don't like me calling the Declaration of Independence propaganda, well, I don't know, go read your history better. It certainly was a document designed to inspire political support and to establish a reason to go forward in the revolution. By any reasonable definition, that would qualify as political propaganda. I'm not saying it's wrong or misguided. I'm just saying that's what it was. And I agree with it, but that's still the nature of the thing. Anyway, we believe in rights. We take rights seriously. And so in America, what people have learned over years, it's not a very difficult lesson to figure out, is if you want something, you call it a right. And people will pay more attention to you. I want to have my student loan forgiven. I have a right to have my student loan forgiven. You know, I want better housing. I have a right to housing. I would like to have a job. I have a right to a job. Now, regardless of what you think about any of those topics, you know, I would like to be able to prevent a pregnancy from occurring when I have sex with whomever I want to have it with. I have a right to contraception. I mean, whatever you pick, and not just because I'm changing my tone of voice a little bit, but because the phraseology of calling something a right makes people listen in America, because rights are kind of the basis of our system of government. The problem is that the theory or the underlying rationale for when a right exists is God gives it to us. Remember, you know, endowed by their creator is kind of the premise. And so not everything that you want actually manifests itself as a right that you can justify ultimately as coming from God. And somebody might say, well, I thought government, you know, gives you your rights. No, that's not. Government recognizes the rights. The rights have to pre-exist the government, otherwise the government itself doesn't have justification. The whole idea, again, going back to the, you know, Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, is that God puts inside of human beings a right to live, a right to be free, a right to own, okay? Or a right to pursue happiness, again, depending on which document you read. And then governments that protect those rights are just, are good, are right, are noble. Governments which either directly violate those rights by killing or stealing from people, excessively taxing them, for example, is a deprivation of the right to property. So you'd say that a country that has too high of a taxation is violating your God-given right to own the results of your labor, right? That's the idea. And so what you say is not that the right doesn't exist when the government doesn't recognize it, but that the government is violating the right. The government that kills its own people is violating their right to life. Think communist country, okay? The country that incarcerates people unjustly is violating people's right to liberty. The country that overtaxes or that simply comes and takes through, for example, inappropriate or abusive eminent domain is violating people's right to property. And what you say about a country like that or a government like that is it's unjust and it's violating people's rights. You don't say they don't have the rights, you say they're being violated. On the other hand, a country that protects those rights, you say, is honoring, upholding, protecting those rights. So rights pre-exist conceptually a government, and they are the basis on which you judge governments. You don't say, well, Cuba, you know, they're killing people and they're jailing people and they don't allow you freedom of press and religion because people in Cuba don't have these rights. No, what you say is people have them and they're being violated. So flash forward to the, or, you know, switch gears a little bit and talk about something like abortion. In this context, you have personal body liberty is a right that we believe in. You also have life rights for the other life form gestating inside of the woman. Obviously, there's a lot of conversation about what amount of rights that entity, the certainly future human, if you don't interfere, is what's going to happen, has, right? That's the conversation. But to say that a woman has a right to abortion, you'd have to give a source for that right. And what's the source of being able to terminate a pregnancy? Well, you wouldn't say God because, you know, every major religion, you don't even have to particularly pick Christianity or the Bible, every major religion is against it because God creates life rights and blesses pregnancy and wants women to have babies and be fruitful and multiply. And so God doesn't like abortion. If you, again, look at every major religious tradition, and since God is the source of rights, you have to say, well, where else would a right to abortion come from? Well, the next best thing you can do is, you know, body liberty, body autonomy, right? God grants that. We believe in that. Sure. Okay, but up to limits. You have body liberty up until the time when you're interfering with somebody else's body liberty, for example, which is why child's life rights come into play. Or even, you might believe you have bodily autonomy, bodily liberty rights, but even those have limits. There are certain things that do not have another victim but are still not within your ability to perform because God hates that behavior. So I say all of that to say this. People use the language of rights when it comes to abortion because it's a powerful word to use. But there is no underlying justification that explains that, that fits that, which would then say, for example, a country like or a state like Florida that restricts abortion rights after the age of 6 weeks gestation is somehow violating a woman's rights, because there is no right to abortion like that that you can identify in any logical source. But that's the language that gets used. I mean, if you listen to the newscast, they're talking about restricting a woman's right to abortion. No. Protecting a fetus's right to be born or a fetus's right to life. The idea that there is some right that entitles you to seek an abortion that is being violated, and by implication, therefore, the state is being unjust in this violation, there's no conceptual basis for that that makes any sense. So just be careful about how, you know, people use this language and what sort of things that they're actually saying. It would be much more appropriate, much more neutral, if you wanted to say it that way, to say that Florida is protecting the fetus's rights as early as 6 weeks, not protecting them any earlier. Because the only thing in this situation that really has those rights would be the fetus. And we're, I would argue, many others would argue, failing to protect that actual right as early as, for example, conception. Another language piece you pick up is tone. This was from the intro from NBC this morning.
A 6-week abortion ban going into effect overnight in Florida. The Sunshine State joining the rest of the Southeast with harsh restrictions on the procedure.
Harsh? Harsh? You could say strict if you wanted to. Still not that strict compared to the rest of the Southeast, but harsh? What's harsh about it? Well, somebody doesn't like it. Somebody who's writing copy at NBC disagrees. And so they want to characterize it. I mean, harsh would mean that the degree of punishment would be severe. Is it? Is it really? Anyway, just, you know, pay attention to language, pay attention to what people say. And, you know, especially when you're talking about news organizations, in this case, NBC, but they're not unique in this. Really think about what language is being used around a subject, because whether you're talking about Israel, whether you're talking about guns, whether you're talking about abortion, whether you're talking about housing or jobs or anything else, people use English because English is a very flexible language. It allows you to characterize what you want in a variety of ways. You know, every noun basically for a thing has 10 or 15 different words you can use for it. Every verb for an action has 10 or 15 different words you can use for it. And each of those words carry connotation, implication. So you can say the same thing logically, but be saying something very different connotatively. And people use this language in a non-neutral way in order to shape your opinion of things, either on purpose or, you know, unintentionally, because they can't help their biases soaking through. I am the same, of course, as a human. I do this. I try not to as much as I possibly can. But, you know, again, if news is supposed to present the ideas in as neutral a way as possible, calling these restrictions harsh is certainly not neutral. Describing a restriction on a woman's so-called right to abortion is certainly not neutral. Even if it's common, it's not neutral. 522 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
I'm getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, a Pfizer vaccine.
So am I, because I'm at risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
If you're 19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, COPD, or heart disease, or are 65 or older, you are at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about Prevnar 20, pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine. It can help protect you against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose. Even if you've already been vaccinated with other pneumonia vaccines, Prevnar 20 may help provide added protection. Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out tomorrow morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information about this tomorrow morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Gulf Coast businesses are set to lose over $5 million this month. I'm Nathan with Data Revolution, and this is your cybersecurity tip of the month. It's the beginning of tax season, and scammers know the threat of an IRS audit gets people to pay. Know that the IRS will never initiate contact through email, and any email threatening an audit is just a scam. Businesses along the Gulf Coast trust Data Revolution for their cybersecurity and communications needs. Visit datarevs.com for more information.
Join Stefan Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel this Friday at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stefan? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them this Friday at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Austin.
It's like headline news for radio every day, 4 to 7 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You know, I noticed you've been drinking a lot of coffee lately. Well, I think that's why you have a hard time relaxing.
Shot through the heart, and you're to blame, darling. You give love a bad name.
Good morning, 7:06, 5. I don't know what time it is. 5:26 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Yes, dozens of people could be facing charges after police cleared the Columbia University grounds of anti-Israel Hamas war protesters in their encampment yesterday. The university asked NYPD to clear Hamilton Hall last night. They said that was done for the safety of all of their students. Disgraced movie producer Harvey Weinstein expected back in court today in Manhattan ahead of a possible new trial, the rearrangement nearly a week after the New York Court of Appeals overturned his 2020 conviction. And thousands of hotel workers are planning May Day rallies in several cities across the U.S. and Canada. They're looking for better pay and working conditions. The unionized workers in talks with Marriott International, Hilton Worldwide, and Hyatt Hotels for new contracts for the first time since 2020.
So this is not, help, help, May Day, May Day. This is, help, help, May Day, May Day.
Yeah, that sounds right, yeah.
Just trying to be sure whether we're celebrating, you know,
well, you gotta,
distress or, you know, international affiliation with communist collective movements. Just wanting to figure out which side we're on here. So, May Day, right? Not May Day.
Right, May Day.
Okay, good. Just clear. David, thanks so much for the update. 527 on News Radio 92.3. This is kind of an interesting note. You heard David mention this at the top of the hour news. Studio 850, which is a very good local news resource. John Singley does excellent work. Studio 850 reporting that all three county commissioners who benefited from the 401A, the ICMA, the local plan, the lucrative retirement, but however you want to characterize it. This is the plan where they were getting paid as much as half, roughly, I forget the actual percentage. I think it was over. It was like 58%, I think, at one point. Anyway, of their salary going into a personal retirement account instead of getting the much lower share of that amount of money going into their personal account for the FRS, Florida Retirement System. And, you know, we've had a lot of conversation about this over the years, including the effort by Stephen Barry and Lumen May to get back paid about $250,000 each for their error. They would say being failed to be informed by the Human Resources Department, but okay, of back pay for making a different decision about this. Well, you know, Pam Childers, the clerk of the court and comptroller of the county, said, these are illegal. This is income, okay? You're giving them income, a bonus. You're giving them a pay raise, which you shouldn't be giving the pay raise because they're elected officials. And she said that's illegal. And the court said, yes, that's correct. That's illegal. You can't do that. So then she said, all right, give me the money back. And so now she's got the money. It came back, $102,000 from former commissioner and current supervisor of elections, Robert Bender, who was actually the source of all this. Because remember, he enrolled in the program. And then when Stephen Barry and Lumen May saw the size of his retirement account the next go-round when the financials came out, they're like, what the? How'd you get so much money? I don't know. I opted for the thing that you guys didn't opt for. Well, that's why they wanted to get the back pay. Anyway, so their amount is much lower, okay, partially because they were not in it as long, okay, $28,000 for Stephen Barry and $25,000-ish for Commissioner May. But now the money is back, so, so now there are open questions. The open questions now are going to be, what happens to that money? You know, are either or all of them entitled to sort of retroactively go back into the Florida retirement system? Not allowed to go into it? What shape of the plan would they be able to go into, whether it's a pension plan or another investment plan? We'll see. There is a lot of nuance and complexity around this question. And I think at this moment, it's kind of unknown whether or what exactly is going to happen with that $160,000-ish, you know, that the commissioners are no longer in possession of through their retirement accounts under the local plan. And I am very curious to see how this all plays out. And, you know, I say just generally, how much of this plays out in the sunshine and how much of this tries to be played out sort of without telling people it's happening. Pay attention.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass calling in the LAPD to break up protests that turned violent between pro-Israel and pro-Palestinian groups at UCLA.
The officers who are now on scene, we are told, in full riot gear. And what they appear to be doing for the moment is simply separating the two sides who have been engaged in essentially ongoing battles.
Fox's Jonathan Hunt in Los Angeles. Columbia University's Hamilton Hall back in control of the school, which gave the NYPD the go-ahead to clear out the building. Scores of anti-Israel protesters arrested.
NYPD does not use tear gas. Okay, we use distraction devices.
That's Assistant Commissioner Carlos Nieves. Officials said they used four of those devices as they moved in. The cops also clearing out the encampment outside the building. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3, 70 degrees right now. Partly cloudy skies in Pensacola this morning. A Pensacola federal judge dismissing a lawsuit that sought to hold Saudi Arabia accountable for the NAS Pensacola shootings in 2019. According to Channel 3, that ruling came from federal judge Casey Rogers, who agreed with Saudi lawyers saying that the kingdom is beyond the jurisdiction of American courts. The suspect, who was in Pensacola as part of a cooperative training program between the two countries, shot and killed Cameron Walters, Muhammad Haitham, and Joshua Watson before he was shot and killed by first responders. An appeal of the ruling will likely be filed. Well, those new parking rates in downtown Pensacola have now gone into effect as of today. With the changes, rates are going from 50 cents an hour to $1 per hour. City leaders estimate that will lead to an increase of $240,000 in revenue that will allow for reinvestment into the overall parking experience. This is the first time the city's increased parking rates since 2007. City parking will remain free on Sundays, excluding boat ramps. Governor Ron DeSantis announcing the state's summer recreation tax holiday. This year it covers the month of July and includes fishing, camping, boating, pool supplies, and several other categories.
General outdoor supplies, gas and charcoal grills under $250, and bicycles under $500.
The holiday also covers admissions to state parks, museums, movies, and live entertainment. DeSantis says the tax holiday helps residents as well as Florida's 35 million summer visitors. Also, good news for fishermen. It looks like this year's red snapper season is going to be the longest yet. Governor Ron DeSantis announcing yesterday that the Gulf red snapper season this year will be 103 days. That tops last year's record-setting 87-day season. Now, this season will include all of June, all of July, and every weekend in September, October, and November. There also will be some extended days in the season for Veterans Day and for Thanksgiving. Just about a month away now from the official start of the 2024 Atlantic hurricane season, the House passing the Fixing Gaps in Hurricane Preparedness Act.
Our bill instructs NOAA to evaluate the level of people's preparedness for hurricane-prone areas, better understand how at-risk populations receive, interpret, and react to emergency notifications.
Central Florida Congressman Maxwell Frost, he says the bipartisan bill ensures hurricane preparedness tools and alerts and addresses the needs of seniors, people with disabilities, and non-English speakers. Their goal, to reduce fear and to save lives. 534 News Radio Pensacola. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We will have areas of fog possible this morning, otherwise going to be seeing mostly sunny skies by the afternoon. High today near 83 degrees. Overnight tonight, partly cloudy skies with a low near 67. For Thursday, mostly sunny skies, high near 81. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 67 degrees. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And 69 right now in Pensacola, 70 in Gulf Breeze, 68 in Milton. Our next news at 6 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio Pensacola.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. For most of its 27 years as a public company, Amazon investors have been asked to sacrifice profit for growth. That's no longer necessary. Amazon's operating margin jumped past 10% in the most recent quarter as the company cut costs and generated revenue growth in higher margin businesses. Operating income more than tripled to $15.3 billion, while net income also jumped more than 200% to $10.4 billion. Tesla shares have fallen nearly 6% after CEO Elon Musk laid off an additional 500 employees from its supercharger team. Tesla is working to grow its U.S.-based supercharger network after striking partnerships with Ford, GM, and others, and agreeing to allow non-Tesla EV drivers to charge on its equipment. The EV maker's stock is down 26% this year. Futures are moderately lower. Yesterday, the Dow Industrials lost 570. That's your money.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. An IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, submitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
Okay, let's talk about renovation and how it's not like your ordinary happy ending home makeover show. Example, they're the guys who prey on homeowners and never show up to do the work. So that's why the state of Florida licenses contractors. You can check if your contractor is licensed at the Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulation website at myfloridalicense.com.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulation, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
What's fun and happening in Pensacola? You'll find out as the City of Pensacola Parks and Recreation Department talks about it here on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Join us this Friday as we detail what's going on in your city parks and resource centers.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
News Radio Pensacola has you covered no matter where you are or how you like to listen. Tune into our frequencies on 92.3 FM, 95.3 FM, and AM 1620 for the latest breaking news, local updates, and in-depth analysis. Can't be near a radio? No problem. Stream us live on our website or through our convenient app. Available for download on your mobile device. Plus, with our smart device integration, you can ask your virtual assistant to play News Radio 92.3, and we'll be right there with you. It's News Radio Pensacola.
Yesterday, we're out there scouring the neighborhood. We have one vehicle that we have seized, and we're working on getting a search warrant for that. We have a couple of phones that we have seized from the victim's cars, so we're getting search warrants for that. As you can imagine, we're doing a number of different things. We're looking for video. If you live in the area and you think you may have a video, please contact us, let us know. Even if it's something you're not sure has value, please let us know. We can determine whether we can make use of that.
This is Sheriff Chip Simmons. This is Sheriff Chip Simmons talking about this triple homicide, a triple, I I think a fair term would be a triple assassination, based on the description of everything that we believe happened in this case, that these men were deliberately targeted for execution by other people. That's an assassination by any definition I'm familiar with. We talked about this. This is over at the party over the weekend, over on 65th and Jackson. And we talked about this extensively with Sheriff Simmons yesterday when he was here in studio. Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm good. This is a very, very scary thing to think about. These guys, you were saying, they basically, it's like a military operation. I mean, they were going through somebody's backyard and shed and everything to sneak up on this car full of enemies, let's assume, and shot them and killed them all.
Well, I mean, you know, there were some questions I've had over the last couple of days. You know, how did this take place and what do we think happened? I think that you can look at the scenario itself, and I mentioned some of this yesterday. You know, we believe that they parked a little bit, almost a block away, and went through a backyard. So you would think that they had information that they were there.
That was my question. How did they find out? Yeah, go on.
And we're looking at that. I mean, our investigators are looking at that. I don't just say things like that because, you know, I believe this happened. There are some indications that that they were notified or somehow knew that they were there, because again, they were just sitting in their car. And then they got out of the car, and the shooters did, mm-hmm. got out of the car and on foot. I mean, they don't typically do that. They don't do it unless they know where they're going and they're able to sneak up on an individual. So yeah, you call it assassination. I think that's accurate. I call it a targeted ambush, mm-hmm. which again, I think is accurate. I think the fact that it was the scenario in which they took it, made it think that they, you know, targeted first of all, and secondly, made us think, why? You know, we always look for a motive. And it's been our experience that is a retaliation type of situation. So we're looking at some of the things that have taken place over the last couple months, because it didn't have to have happened the day before, an hour before, and see if it might be tied to something there, because we may have some information on suspects from previous shootings or even victims from previous shootings that are now retaliating. So we're looking at everything. I can tell our investigators are out there, just doing everything that they can, knocking on doors, trying to find video, talking to people, interviewing people, getting search warrants, as I mentioned in yesterday's press conference. So we're doing a lot, but as you mentioned, we can always use, you know, all the evidence that we can get, right. All of the surveillance footage, all of the comments we can get, all of the information that people have.
So you kind of alluded to it. You know, I also had that same question of who tipped them off. How did that happen? You had mentioned yesterday that one of the gentlemen had been one of the victims, okay, had been just released from prison 6 days ago. Have you had a chance to look at? I did not look, but have you had a chance to look at like priors, what they were in for, what the other two people in the car, if they had a criminal history at all?
I have not. Okay. I know that our investigators have done. Again, you look and see who they associate with, and. That was a question that was posed to me, and I said I am aware that one of them got out 6 days ago. Why is that important? Because, you know, maybe it's someone that put him in jail. Maybe
right.
it's someone that they had a beef with before they went to jail. You know, maybe it's something that happened in jail. You know, some of those things.
Sort of he's out, now let's go, kind of, you know, who knows. I did want to ask, though, because I happen to live close to this other incident, is, you know, there was a shots fired incident at the Beacon store at Palafox and Burgess on last Wednesday. So that would have been, you know, what, 3 or 4 days before this happened. You know, I called it in because, you know, I actually called 911 because I don't normally, you can't always tell it's fireworks right. versus gunfire, but I'm like, oh, that's gunfire. And, you know, we thought we heard 8 shots, but I guess it was multiple gunfire exchanges. Is that right?
Yeah, I think it was up to 20 on that particular situation.
But two only different guns. One person was hitting the foot and that's it.
Yeah, again, it happened at a gas station, and an individual comes out with a long gun, but a longer gun, rifle-type gun, and then another one returns fire with a pistol. They do appear to know each other. They're, you know, if someone pulls up around me, people will take off and leave, and it almost seems as if they were aware of the individual that's shooting at each
right.
other. You know, so and you're I guess you're asking because you're wondering if this could be a retaliatory.
Right. I mean, my first thought when I saw this story is I thought, well, that's pretty close in time to another incident that's in this sort of geographic, not really, but, you know, sort of enough that it could be plausible. And that's what that was my thought, is do you see a connection between those two, or do you not know yet?
Well, the we don't know yet, but those are the types of things that I was alluding to when I said we're gonna go back and see if it might be retaliation for something that happened. But I didn't want people to think that we're only looking at yesterday and the day before yesterday, that sort of thing.
Right.
We're looking for, as I mentioned before, you know, someone got out of prison for a while, could have been a 1 or 2 year beef. Could have been something like that. So we're we're certainly trying to take a look at that and see which what where it goes.
You you mentioned yesterday that you have phones that you have seized, you have a car that you have seized. I assume that's in addition to the victim's car. There's an additional car.
No, that is the victim's car. You're right. There are
the Mustang
two
and
cars.
Something else. Okay,
the Mustang is something else that we have. We're currently looking. Crime scenes there and taking a look at the two cars we have. One is the victim's car and one's another car.
Okay. And then you had talked, were the guys in the Mustang armed? Did they have guns? Are you not saying?
We're not saying anything about that, about what they had in that Mustang yet.
Okay.
But they did not return fire.
Okay. Right. Which is what you had made clear. And it is, as you say, it's kind of an unusual circumstance because the reason you drive by is because quick to get away afterwards and quick to make the thing happen, you think. But so they felt confident that they could sneak up and make this happen.
Well, and if it were, I don't want to give anyone advice, obviously, but if it were, you could have done a drive-by. They were right there on 65th or Jackson if you were wanting to get out. That's what leads us to believe there's intent here, evil intent here, to get out, to find a place to hide, to sneak through the wooded area. So there was some conversation or some intel, if you will, that was to be gathered before they made this move.
I know because people will wonder this, and I just want to make sure they know. The reason this was not a ShotSpotter incident because it's outside the three-mile zone, right? It's outside of the specific area where you have ShotSpotter.
We have the ShotSpotter based upon the historical shots, shots fired, complaints that we've had. So this is outside of that zone area. There's one more question I keep getting. Well, it's the first time we've had a triple homicide in a while. NAS, obviously we had three people, and while we didn't investigate it, we certainly cleared it. And I think that Hartung, there may have been someone back in the day. So we had a quadruple homicide back in the day, back in the crack day. So it's, unfortunately, it's happened before, but fortunately, it's very rare to have double, and certainly rare to have three.
I think what I expect a lot of people have in their heads is this question. We often on talk about gang activity. Mm-hmm. We often on talk about, there's peaks and valleys in this activity, and, sometimes things come in what seem like spurts, and it's really just coincidence, and sometimes they come in spurts because people are fighting with each other over time.
Right.
How worried does the citizen need to be about walking, driving, doing business on the west side of Pensacola right now?
Well, it did happen. I want to make sure that I explain fully what has taken place so people can make their own determinations on what they do. We talk a lot about risky behavior. If you're not involved in risky behavior, the chances of you getting involved in a situation like that is rare. I maintain that is true. If you're not involved in risky behavior, this is very safe. I raise my kids here. I live here. But I think that we need to be aware of what's going on, not just in Scambia County. We need to be aware of what's going on in our country as a whole, and we are a microcosm of that. And I think it's important to know that when this does happen, when a single homicide happens, certainly when a triple homicide happens, we investigate it with all of our staff, all of our resources, to make sure that we can get the people off the street so they will spend the rest of their life in prison.
And, no place is ever really safe fully, and no place is ever really super at risk too. things can happen, and you make your decision as an adult about what level of, preparations you take for all that, which is why we talk about all the other things, personal safety and carries and all that kind of stuff. I did want to briefly talk about two or three other cases. One is, you had a deputy that was essentially the victim of a four-vehicle chain reaction crash last Wednesday on Highway 29. One vehicle actually caught fire. Two people hospitalized. The deputy is okay, and the deputy was not at fault.
That's correct. The deputy's vehicle was hit from the rear, and then it slammed into other cars.
It was pushed into another car, right?
Yes. Florida Highway Patrol was investigating it. I will say that they found fault on the other driver.
Okay.
But our deputy's okay. Thank you for asking. I don't know. I'm not allowed to know the condition of the other. They have their own privacy rights of the other drivers. And again, we're not the investigating agency, so I can't give that out.
Got it. You also had an incident in Century, or at least somebody you think is in Century, a Christopher George Pace that you're all looking for?
Yeah, we've been looking for him for a couple of days. Christopher Pace, wanted for arson, damage to a property, and trespassing. He's believed to be in the Century area. We do consider him armed and dangerous. We've been looking for him for a while. And if you look on our social media Facebook page, we have a picture of him. Looks like the picture shows him without a shirt on. I'm assuming he may have a shirt or he may not have a shirt.
Descriptions may change over time.
Yeah, he may not. But If you know where he is, so we were up in Century a couple of days ago when I got a lot of calls. Where are we up? We have so many deputies up there.
Yeah.
Was because we think he's armed and dangerous, and we wanted to do everything we could. So there's, you know, he could be in some wooded area up there, but we do have the last information that we have is that he is still in the Century area, and I guess he's known up there. People know who this is, and if you see him, please give us a call because we would love to put some handcuffs on this dude.
Gotcha. Last thing is sort of going back to the gunfire at the Beacon store in Palo Fox, because this gave me an opportunity to see some things and ask some things that I think might be useful. As I said, we heard the gunfire, what seemed like to me to be gunfire, the mm-hmm. pace of the shots, the loudness, the particular sound. I know it's hard to tell from fireworks, but sometimes you can tell, right? And, you know, I was like, do I call it in? I bet I'm not the only one calling in. Well, I did call it in, and you can't tell them much because you're in your house and then it's over and you're like, where'd that come from? Right. Hey, we live here and we heard some gunshots, right? I think it's south of us. But I couldn't get through to 911. Busy. And which surprised me because that's pretty rare. But I thought, well, I bet other people are calling this in. That's what's happening. They're overwhelmed. And sure enough, and then they call me back because you call, they call back.
Right.
Because that can be a victim in distress that needs right. a call back. And so, you know, he called me back and asked, you know, said, and I told him what was going on. He's like, yes, we've had several reports that. Thank you for calling, you know. But that's what you want is you want citizens, if you hear or see something, say or describe something, right?
Well, yeah, a couple things. So I don't know, you know, how many calls it takes for 911 center to be busy. That's rare.
I was surprised. I don't know that I've ever,
you know, heard that's taken. We don't handle the 911 system. The county does.
Right.
But I would say yes, call, because I listen to the radio all the time, and I hear it helps us to know
the police
we've had
radio.
More than yeah. I'm sorry.
Well, in addition talk to radio, listening right? to this radio.
Yeah, no, I listen to – anytime I say radio, I mean the police radio. So I'm listening to the radio and listening to what's going on. And a lot of times it helps our deputies that are responding to know when we have multiple calls mm-hmm. because it shows that it's probably a real call. It's more likely to be a real call. And then the secondary and third calls can help pinpoint exactly what's taking place. So I would say that, yes, unless you – I mean, if you live in a wooded area out there and you hear what you think is a shotgun – you know, during hunting season or right. something like that, then you know, you can make your determination on whether you call or not. But if it's an area, and like you said, you hear what maybe even been two different types of guns in short order, I think that's something that we can call on. And then you can, again, as the deputy gets the information like they told you, we've had multiple calls on it now. We're getting more calls. And again, it can kind of help us to go exactly where we need to go.
And you know, my wife and I bike all the time. We're in the country. We hear gunfire. Mm. During the day, you know, we don't think anything of it because, you know, that's where we live. That's fine. Yeah. But there's a difference when it's at night, multiple. It's like 8 or 9 shots in a row. And, you know, so we made the call.
What happens to me, too? I'm in my yard. I'm thinking, I stop for a second and listen and evaluate what I just heard. And,
right.
And the location, is it more in the wooded area of, mm-hmm. near where I mm-hmm. live? Or is it more in the town, you know, in the right. town area? And then, again, most of it is just... if it sounds like shotgun blast or even one rifle round or something.
Sheriff Chip Simmons, always a pleasure, sir. Thank you for keeping us informed as always. Do what you do to keep us safe, and we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.
Absolutely. 5:52 here on News Radio Pensacola. And just as a completely different note, it kind of slipped my mind yesterday. I had it in my prep, but I failed to mention it. The last 2 days before today were the 10-year anniversary of the flood in 2014, and then, of course, the explosion at the Central Booking and Detention Facility the following night that, you know, so dramatically affected our neighborhood or our, you know, our community for so long thereafter. 10 years, my God, it just doesn't, it's one of those weird things where it seems like it was yesterday, because I can remember going over on, you know, all of these streets and seeing all of the damage and, you know, shooting video and doing interviews and all that. And then at the same time, it's like, but that was 100 years ago, right? No, just 10 years, but... man, talk about something that shaped our community and, you know, caused us to spend millions and millions of dollars to do stormwater mitigation, which has made a dramatic difference in how we are able to handle events like that. You know, some events you cannot defend against, period, but you can defend against the minor ones or, you know, mitigate the damage that would happen in a major one like that. And I think we've done that in both Escambia and Santa Rosa County over the years. More can be done, but a lot has been done. Let's not mistake that. 5:54 on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay.
You've built up the equity in your home. Now, a home equity line of credit from Pinair Credit Union can help you put it to great use.
So build something incredible, like a backyard oasis or new walk-in shower. Invest in something special, like education or your business. Or just replace your roof. Boring, but important. Whatever you need, a home equity line of credit from PennAir is ready and waiting. And since there's no annual fee and no closing costs, a PennAir home equity line is always a perfect fit. Get started at PennAir.org/HELOC. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing lender.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Pep Talk? What's Pep Talk?
It's the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Experts? Experts in real estate?
Yes, that's us, Angela. We are the Pep Talk for real estate.
What will we talk about, Will?
We'll talk about the real estate industry.
Well, we don't just want to answer our own questions.
We want to answer the listeners' questions. Tune in tomorrow at 10:30 and we'll talk about real estate.
And whatever real estate questions you have.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Local experts share their expertise on the Pensacola Expert Panel. It's Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Party on, Wayne.
Party on, Garth.
Like an infection across the nation. Well, you know you can't stop it when they start to play. You gotta get out the way. The politics of dancing.
Good morning, 5:56 here on News Radio Pensacola. Good to have you with us this morning. Judge has dismissed the lawsuit against Saudi Arabia for their complicity in the NAS Pensacola attack. This is kind of an interesting case. I mean, obviously, it's interesting because it affects our community so much. But this is one of those things where we had thought that there was going to be, you know, political pressure brought so that they would do something to compensate the victims. And then the lawsuit was filed when, you know, didn't seem like that was happening or, you know, in conjunction with that. And now Judge Casey Rogers, who is a good judge, said that U.S. courts just don't have jurisdiction to settle this complaint under the Foreign Service Immunities Act of 1976. Ben Johnson for the PNJ doing good reporting here. Saudi Arabia, they basically said that it was done by a rogue, you know, member of their military. And it's not their responsibility, which is unfortunate, but is probably what the law says. What the argument by the plaintiffs, you know, was that they knew, should have known, there was evidence on social media. Saudi Arabia should have done a better job of protecting us from him, should have done more to control him or known that he was a danger or risk. And, you know, all fair arguments, but I think without having read the opinion, I'm assuming that what Judge Rogers said is, your arguments may be good, but the law just doesn't give us the authority to say these things about a foreign government. So that's that, probably, unless they appeal, which, yeah, we'll see. 5:57 here on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The judge in former President Donald Trump's ongoing New York trial says there will be no session on May 17th. That's the day that Trump's youngest son, 18-year-old Barron, is set to graduate from the Oxford Academy in Palm Beach County. Walmart has said they're closing all 51 of their health care centers and stopping virtual health care services. They made a big push into health care in recent years, but now they're shutting all of their locations down in Florida, Arkansas, Georgia, Illinois, Missouri, and Texas. And it looks like all of their locations in Florida were in South Florida and in Jacksonville. And Brittany Griner speaking out about being wrongfully detained in Russia. She gave an interview to ABC. That's going to air on television tonight. She also apparently wrote about her experience in a new memoir. It's called Coming Home, and that'll be released next week.
All right, David, thanks for the update. Yeah, interesting notes out of the trial with President Trump. The judge gave him $9,000, nine fines of $1,000 each for Truth Social posts that violated the gag order that attacked, you know, juror members or family members or whatever. And he said, well, what? I didn't attack the people myself. They're not my posts. I'm just sharing what other people have said. And the judge is like, that's a distinction without a difference. So, no, you're done. And if you keep doing this, I'm going to put you in jail. At which point, the Truth Social post went away. so interesting compliance with what he has consistently said is a violation of his First Amendment rights. But that was done. Also, Walmart, David mentioned it, Walmart has come out with a whole new line or is coming out with a whole new line of affordable foods, which seem to be like Trader Joe's competitors or Target competitors, but at a reasonable
local
price.
Local Talk in the Morning, 5 to 9 with Andrew McKay is on News Radio 92.3 WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.